Happy Monday, everybody, and happy MLK Day here in the United States of America. We have a great show lined up for you. Taylor joins me today with a great trip report from back in December down to Disney's All-Star Movies Resort. And they also headed over to Universal Studios for a couple of days to explore those parks, do a lot of the Harry Potter stuff. We have a good time talking great meals at places like Homecoming, Yachtsman Steakhouse, and lots of Mexican food as well. So you know that hits right in my heart. It's right where I am. You're going to enjoy today's trip report. It's a lot of fun. Even Capture Your Moment is a special surprise for Taylor's mom. Today's show, of course, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan the next Disney vacation, wherever it is, to any Disney destination. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It really helps us out. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for supporting all we do here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We couldn't do it without you. And our patrons get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support us, drop on in patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2024 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you and happy MLK Day. We hope that you are having maybe a day off from work today, but more importantly, you're reflecting on how great our country can be and the achievements that we have made working together as a society and, you know, in large part due to folks like Dr. King and everybody in the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. So reflect on that today and think about how we can, you know, do something nice for somebody, maybe next door, maybe somebody that you encounter that's a complete stranger at the grocery store today, or, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be today. Maybe it's later this week, but make somebody's day today. I think that would be a great way to celebrate Dr. King's legacy. So let's think about that today and let's have some fun. We might be off of work and school, but we can talk about Walt Disney World and have a great time. And that's what we're going to do. We're heading back to December, down to All-Star Resorts. We're talking Universal. But let's get our guest introduced. We're headed out to North Carolina with listener Taylor. Taylor, happy Monday. How you doing?
Happy Monday. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. I'm going to get my voice back by next week. I promise you. We're going to get it going by then. But we're going to have a good time talking Disney today. So before we get hopping into your trip report, give me a little background. What has you being a Disney fan? Where did this all start for you?
Yeah. So it actually started with my parents. They went to Disney World a couple of times when they were adults. After they got married, they went with some friends of theirs. And these friends kind of showed them how to do Disney in the Disney fan way. And after they had my sister and myself, basically when I turned 4, they gave us a choice for Christmas of what we would like to do. We went the first time. My first time for Christmas when I was 4. And then each year after that, they gave us a choice if we would rather open presents or go to Disney. So instead of gifts, my family has done Disney for Christmas every year for the last 20 years.
Wow. I'm thinking about that because I love Walt Disney World, but that would be a tough, tough choice for me because I sure loved when I was a kid running down and seeing all the gifts under the tree and finding out, you know, tearing them open. Oh my gosh, I would not want to be faced with that decision as a kid. I could not take it. Like, that's stressing me out right now. Just thinking about it. As a 48-year-old, I don't know what I would pick, you know, because it's just the excitement of the whole thing. But that's cool that you grew up with it. And I would imagine, so you said you grew up in the mountains. So did you, were you as, because I consider like North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, where Walt Disney World is kind of a regional thing because it's within striking distance of a drive. Was it like that when you were a kid? I don't know exactly where you grew up, but was it something that could be gotten to rather easily? It wasn't so difficult?
Yeah, it's about 10 or 12 hour car ride. And we've always driven down, which as an adult, I forget every year how terrible it is because we drive down overnight so that we're there in the morning, and every year it's worse. And then by the time we go the next year, I've already forgotten how bad it was. So I just do it all over again.
I've been there. I remember those days before I was a big chicken. I wouldn't get on an airplane. And if you listen to about the first 700, 800 episodes of our podcast, I had certain words for airplanes, and I will not repeat them now that I fly. But yeah, we drove. It was 15 hours from St. Louis, and there would be enough time, like you said, in between trips, that I would forget about how miserable the trip was by the time we got to South Georgia, how locked up my back was, but how exhausted I was. And then when I got to Walt Disney World, I was so tired, I had to take a big fat nap. Yeah, so thank God for flying nowadays for me, because I am too old to make drives like that. But anyway, let's hop into your trip. But before, one other thing I'll ask you before we get into the trip itself. In this 50th anniversary celebration year, because you have a strong history with Walt Disney World, what's something you would bring back that's long gone? If there was one thing, you know, they ask, okay, you get to bring back one thing, a promotion, an attraction, a restaurant, something like that. What are you bringing back?
I would bring back Year of a Million Dreams.
Yes.
I feel like that just really, like the year that that happened, it just really encapsulated all of the Disney magic. Like, it was amazing. That is what I would, that's what I would bring back.
It was, you always, I don't know if you felt this, I that's one of my top three all-time deals with Walt Disney World, was Year of a Million Dreams. We were there a lot during that promotion because it lasted almost 2 years. And my oldest daughter, Paige, was at the right age for this. And we had a code, like, because you would see the folks that were in the light blue shirts, and they had, you know, they had like little satchels that they carried around. And we would always be like, we always said, look, there's the dreamers. We call them dreamers. And we're like, okay, they're going to the exit of Haunted Mansion. We're going on Haunted Mansion. And the thing was, it never worked out that way, because by the time you went through the attraction, they were long gone, because they would hit and go. They were like a strike force. But you always, like every day when I was in a theme park, I felt like I was going to be spending the night that night in Cinderella Castle, or I was going to win DVC or something big. We did win a couple of things. I won a Dream Fast Pass one time. I won. Mallory got to go up into the control room of It's a Small World and wave down at the guests for a few, you know, cycles up there. That was pretty neat. You know, it wasn't anything big, but it was just the whole idea of this could happen. This could happen today. And you know what, too, about that promotion real quick? Here's another thing I enjoyed about that. And I think they should bring this back. They should totally bring this back. But the thing was, I enjoyed seeing just strangers win. Like when I saw somebody win some Mickey ears or somebody win an ice cream bar, like that was absolutely cool to see some random stranger get so excited that all of a sudden, bam, they get gifted something they weren't expecting. I mean, did you see that yourself?
Yeah, definitely. And I loved watching it happen to people who, like, you could tell this was the only trip they'd be able to take for, you know, maybe their whole lives. So watching them get pixie dusted, I guess, is what we called it. But it was a more magical experience, I guess, than, you know, we got some things, you know, like my sister got to ride Rock and Roller Coaster 17 consecutive times. They just, like, didn't make her get out of the car. And I don't know how she didn't get sick, but, you know. And I got a Mickey bar and was able to open up Animal Kingdom. So lots of cool stuff came out of that.
At this age, riding Rock and Roller Coaster 17 times in a row would not be a prize. It would be a punishment. But, you know, back in the day, maybe. That's pretty sweet. So, yeah, that's awesome. All right. So let's talk about this trip. You guys went down in December. How did this trip come together? Why'd you guys decide to go down in December? And, you know, what was the ideas behind heading down?
Yeah, so we decided to keep with the annual Christmas tradition. We went down a little bit earlier. In years past, we have overlapped with Christmas Day, but I was kind of watching the crowds increase and increase. And I thought, yeah, you know what? You know, we've been there on Christmas Day when the park is at 100% capacity by 10 a.m. and it's, you can't move. So we were trying to skip that. So we wanted to leave a little earlier. So we got there on the 18th of December. So a little bit before the crowd showed up, which was nice. So we drove overnight, which is always terrible, but we did it and it was fine. Got there about 5:30 in the morning, absolutely exhausted, as one always is. And we'd done the online check-in, but we brought some old magic bands with us. So we took them to the desk to make sure that they were activated, because we had a couple sets of old ones, because it just is easier for us to use those. Got pixie dusted there too, I guess. They moved some things around and had a room ready for us. I don't know if the woman at the desk just saw how exhausted I looked.
Yes.
And said, "Which she needs a nap. Let's just give her a nap." But yeah, we got to take a nap and then head into Magic Kingdom the morning of Saturday the 18th. So
So let me ask you this though, because you guys drove down overnight. Do you guys have any tips? Because you've driven many times for folks that are maybe making that Walt Disney World road trip for the first time. And like, what have you learned that works out well? You drove overnight, and that's a strategic decision because you get there first thing in the morning, which gives you that full day when you arrive. But then again, you obviously haven't slept the night before, so it is kind of a give and take. But any tips for folks that are doing that drive?
Yeah. So the reason we actually started with the overnight drive is because we were young kids. And according to my parents, that was the only way they could get us from North Carolina to Florida with no disputes between my sister and myself. So the people that have small children driving overnight while they're asleep, pro tip. And then, you know, as adults, you miss all the traffic, which is great. So you're not stuck in traffic. So that's less total time you spend on the road. And I always plan out my stops because it's just easier for me to break it down in my head of, oh, it's only 2 hours until we stop at this gas station. And it's just easier to break it down that way. So break it into a couple chunks and pack lots of snacks. You won't think that you'll need them. And then 2:30 in the morning rolls around and you're still driving. You're going to need those chips.
You sound just like a runner. I do the exact same thing in my marathons. I'm like, okay, I just got to make it to this next, like, you know, like during the marathon this past weekend, it was just got to make it to Animal Kingdom. And if I could just make it to Animal Kingdom, then I'm like, okay, just got to make it to Blizzard Beach. And then I'm like, okay, I know when I get to the studios, I get a little snack. I get chocolate, which this year it was Snickers or Milky Way bars, which is garbage because it has nougat and I hate nougat. But what can you do? Yeah, no, but it's, I mean, it's funny that your road trip, I mean, like it's going through my brain because it's fresh in my brain about running. It's the same thing. Anyway. All right, so you guys get there, and you know what? I had the same thing happen to me, too. When I got to Pop Century, I had a very early flight, got on the plane at 6 o'clock in the morning, had been at the airport since 4:30, and the lady asked me at Pop Century at check-in, like, do you have a preference on where your room is? I said, I could care less where my room is. Like, it could be as far away from this check-in desk as possible. If it is open right now, I will take it. And she got me a room immediately. It was like, you know, 8:30 in the morning, and it was a good room. I mean, it was in the building 6 in the 70s. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a great room. But I mean, I would have taken anything. And just when you're that tired, just to have a place to just crash for a couple minutes and drop your bags. It was like, I mean, I was ready to just be singing hallelujah. I was so excited to just have a place to go drop stuff and take a break. So, all right. So you guys get there. So you were at All-Star Movies. Let's talk about the resort first. So how did movies work out for you guys? And how did you decide to stay there?
Yeah. So we've stayed at all of the value resorts over the years. We stayed at Pop Century last year, which loved the Skyliner. So that was amazing. The All-Star Movies was kind of a decision based around my parents. We actually didn't know that my parents and my sister were going to join us. They booked a trip separately, but our dates kind of overlapped, which was nice. Overlap with my partner and myself. So they were opting to stay there, I guess, because we were opting to stay there. I was trying to keep everybody's budget in mind. So right, we opted for movies.
Did you find it? I mean, you've been to all the values. I mean, it was fine. The guys, everything was good. Good.
Yeah, everything's great.
Cool. Okay. So you go to the Magic Kingdom the first day. Is this something I just got to ask when I see this happen? Like, are you one of those people that has to be Magic Kingdom first day? Is that like a rule for you?
No. So normally we are Animal Kingdom first day people, but we were trying to pull some magic with the Capture the Moment session for my mom, which we were going to do at Animal Kingdom. And we knew like we couldn't get it on the day that we were going to arrive. So I'm like, okay, we'll just swap some dates and we won't tell them. And it'll be a surprise. So normally Animal Kingdom first day people, but we swapped some days this time.
Well, I mean, you really can't go wrong with Magic Kingdom the first day, though. So you guys get there. You did some attractions. So walk me through that. What I like is, and you did this like right off the bat, which I love, that midday break over to Geyser Point. I tell people to do this all the time. My guests at the Magic for Less, I'm like, look, because, you know, they ask me for dining suggestions in the Magic Kingdom. And I say, okay, you can do Columbia Harbor House. I love Columbia Harbor House. You could do Cosmic Rays. You could do Pecos Bills and get some fajitas. All good options. You want to go, like, you want the pro tip? You get on a boat and you go to Geyser Point for a couple hours, get out of the madness and just have something really good, chill out and go back, you know, and have a boat ride in between. I think that's a pro tip. But just walk me through that day at the Magic Kingdom and how this first full day unfolded.
Yeah. So I have a it had a pre-existing spinal injury that has healed over the years, but I re-injured it over the summer. So I knew that I wouldn't be able to do as many of like the roller coasters and stuff that I used to could do. But I wanted to kind of try it out, because I hadn't been back to a park since I'd gotten hurt. So I tried it on a couple of different things that, you know, different types of movement. So we did Pirates, which I always love, and Buzz Lightyear, which I always lose at, which is really infuriating. It doesn't matter who I play, I always lose. We did TTA, which is more just nostalgic for me because Disney was the first place that my parents kind of let me do my own thing. At a younger age, just like run around by myself. And so I would like buy snacks and then get on the TTA before the fireworks would start. And then I could watch the fireworks from the TTA.
Nice.
So that's more of a nostalgia piece. And then we did Thunder Mountain, which my back said that we were done after that for the morning. So no more rides for us, but for that morning. But my family is always, we very rarely eat in the parks, at Epcot excluded, because holiday kitchens are great. But we like to use the opportunities for lunch and dinner to go see the decorations that are at the different resorts and, you know, do the different modes of transportation. So we took the boat over, saw that Geyser Point was doing to go or like mobile orders because of COVID. Which I guess is one of the few perks of COVID, is that now I can just like order food from whatever restaurants and go pick it up.
Right.
So we got a grilled portobello salad and a bison burger and some very excellent fries, which was great. When we actually got to the restaurant early, we didn't have a reservation. One of the servers was like, "Oh, well, you could just eat here in the lounge. Like, you're already here. We can just bring your food to you and then you can just eat here," which was nice. So
it's a good option. Plus,
Wilderness Lodge always has just gorgeous decorations. I love the theming over there for Christmas. It's always stunning, very rustic. So
I agree. I think they had to have had Christmas in mind when they built that resort itself. I mean, it was at least in the back of their mind, if not the front of their mind, when they built that. It's like, this is gonna look awesome at Christmas. We're gonna put a tree here. We're gonna do this. Because it's absolutely the best. I know some people say Grand Floridian. Nah, it's Wilderness Lodge at Christmas. All right, so that night it looks like you guys hopped over, like you mentioned, the Holiday Kitchens over at World Showcase and over in Epcot. So you guys you had the park hopper, you hopped over to Epcot. So how'd you wrap up the day? You had to have been exhausted, and Epcot's a lot of strolling.
Yeah, so we are napping people. So after lunch, we went back. We took a nap at the resort. and then we... Actually, most of the times that we went to Epcot, instead of taking the bus to Epcot, I put us on a bus to Hollywood Studios, hopped the Skyliner from Hollywood Studios so that it would drop us back at World Showcase, and then just take it through the transfer at Caribbean Beach. So we did that and kind of wandered all the way through World Showcase to see what we might want for dinner, made some selections. By the time we got to Mexico, I was like, all right, I'm hungry. I need to eat. So we just went ahead and got some nachos and some margaritas and then worked our way back around, which, you know, having a margarita is the best way to restart your World Showcase journey.
Yeah. And that was my meal of choice after the marathon this past Sunday. So, you know, I had a margarita, slammed an order of nachos, guacamole with an order of empanadas. I was tearing it all up. I didn't care. I just ran 26 miles. So yeah, never the wrong choice to stop in Mexico or start in Mexico or just do both. It doesn't matter. Okay. So I'm curious about the next day. So next day, it looks like you started over at Hollywood Studios. Let me ask you this. I don't think you did because I don't see any notes about it. Did you guys take advantage of Genie Plus or anything like that? Or just go old school straight? Cause I didn't use it at all either. I didn't use it at all. So are you rope drop people? Okay, now that you're there for the second day, rope drop in the studios? Because it looks like you did Rise. Is that what you did?
Yes, we are morning people. So we are rope drop people. So we did Rise, which is, I think it, we were in line. We were one of the first people in line. And then of course it broke down. So we were in line for probably an hour and 15 minutes. But did that, which I'm always just amazed by all of the moving parts in Rise. And then we did Smuggler's Run, and I have never, let's be honest, my mom's a terrible drive. She is also bad at spaceships, so we crashed a lot.
I mean, give her a break. I mean, how often are you in a Millennium Falcon? I mean, you gotta cut her some slack.
You know, only a couple times a year, so I guess. But that was pretty great. But then because of how long we were in line for Rise at that point when we came out, there wasn't a whole lot else that we could do that wasn't over an hour in wait time. And I can't do the thrill ride stuff anymore anyway. So we went over, we did Muppets, and then placed mobile orders for pizza over at the Boardwalk pizza window, because we also just like to, we like to people watch, and Beach Club and Yacht Club have those beautiful, like the gingerbread carousel display, which is just an amazing feat of chocolatiering, really, because it's just stunning. This year's was Little Mermaid themed, so that was pretty cool.
Let me ask you this about the pizza at the Boardwalk. Mm-hmm. What's your take on it? Is it good pizza? Because Scott raves about this pizza. And other people, like, some people are hot on it, some people are cold on it. What was your take? Did it taste good?
It's what I call, like, good bad pizza. Like, when you're in college and you have that horrible pizza, but, like, you love it because it's, you know, your college pizza, that is what that pizza tastes like to me.
We'll take it. Good bad pizza. I like that. All right, so then you guys hopped in. Obviously, you were there on the Boardwalk, so you could just walk right into Epcot. But you went up to Future World. Looks like you took care of some of the attractions like Soarin', Living with the Land, the Seas. But here, you wrapped up in the notes here for this day. It says two Linzer cookies and a Tipsy Ducks in love to drink. I don't even know what that means. So I'm like, I have no clue what this means. What does that mean? So explain that.
So Linzer cookies were the German Holiday Kitchen's Christmas cookie. And they are a shortbread cookie with usually a spiced raspberry filling and then powdered sugar on top. And normally they're little, like your average sugar cookie size, but they were not. They were very large, like the size of a Whoopie pie, which I was not expecting. So I had ordered two thinking they were going to be small. And then I'm like, okay, well, we're going to eat these cookies, obviously. And then a Tipsy Ducks in Love comes from the China Pavilion, and it is espresso, black tea, bourbon, and chocolate syrup. And it is delicious.
Tipsy Ducks in Love. That's a good name. Yeah, that sounds like a great drink, too. And I'll take, give me one of those Linzer cookies. Sign me up for that. I'll take one. See, that's why I love this show. There's so much stuff I don't know about Walt Disney World, and I learn every time we sit down on Mondays to talk about these. That's great. Okay, so the next day, now you guys decide it's time to step into the wild side. We're going over to Universal for a little bit. So now you still stayed at Walt Disney World. You didn't, like, move hotels or anything. It looks like you just hopped over there. So talk to me about, because you were over there for 2 days. First day over at Universal, what happened? Like, what were your highlights?
Yeah, so first day at Universal, the focus was on the Harry Potter world, all of that. I've only been to Universal once before, and my partner had never been at all. And so we went and did the Escape from Gringotts, which was really cool, and then, you know, took the train over between parks. And then did Forbidden Journey. And I just love the Harry Potter world portion of Universal. To me, is the strongest themed. It's similar to Disney and the strength of its theming. So I feel like that is where I like to spend most of my time when I do go to Universal, because I like that immersion factor. And it was, you know, a little bit of decorations for Christmas. And the goal was to just get as much of the Harry Potter world stuff done as we could in the morning. And then I knew that my back probably wouldn't last super long with some of the 40 rides. So we got lunch at the Bread Box. And then, you know, parking is pretty easy at Universal, to be honest. Like, it's all off of a hub. And so you park and the moving walkways just kind of take you. So it was very, very easy for me to leave. And of course, Nick thinks that he's going to take an Uber back, which, you know, I'm rolling my eyes. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're going to take $100 Uber back at 5 o'clock. you'll be calling me. That's funny. So he stayed to do the roller coasters, and he was actually able to do the single rider, and he was able to do like Hulk, Hagrid's, Velocicoaster, and Rip Ride Rocket in about an hour and a half.
That's crazy.
I don't know how he got bounced. I mean, he's got long legs, so I guess he was running back and forth between things, but he did all of that. And as predicted, I get a phone call like, hey, so the cheapest Uber that I could get right now back to All Stars is like $120. Could you just come get me?
That is crazy, because I only paid $38 this past weekend to get from Pop Century to the airport. $38. That's way farther than that distance. And that was like
all about the timing.
It is, but it was 8 o'clock in the morning, the Monday after the marathon. There are a lot of folks going to the airport. Yeah, I mean, I get it though. They have you. So yeah,
they do.
Yeah, got to take care of it. Now it says dinner. You had now. Look, you're big on. I'm seeing a theme here. Dinner, El Patron nachos for dinner.
I like Mexican food.
Same here, man. You're in the right place. You're among friends here. I can tell you that.
Probably at least once a week. It's actually a place it's not on Disney property, but it's off of Apopka Vineland, and it's, I don't know, maybe an 8-minute drive from the Value Resorts and Animal Kingdom Resort area. But, we discovered it probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it's reasonably priced and it's delicious. And they do a lunch buffet, which we've done for lunch, and then dinner, you can just order entrees. And by the time we had driven back, it was pouring rain. Like, okay, well, I'm not going to walk into a park or like walk if I don't have to go to get food. So I'm like, okay, why don't we just go to the Mexican restaurant? I'll get more nachos, because it's been like 2 days since my last set of nachos.
That's so clearly way too long. Yeah, way too long. You're deprived. Nacho deficient. No, that's a good tip for folks that have a car. Okay, so you go back to Universal the next day, and you hit things like Spider-Man, Men in Black, Kong. Now, you obviously don't have any like aversion to like motion sickness or anything, because I think on the other one you talked about doing Jimmy Fallon. When I went down in 2018, we went to Universal as a big group for the travel agency for a big training. And I can't do things like, I mean, I can, but I feel like really bad after, like Flight of Passage gets me. I can't do Star Tours at Disney anymore, because I have this thing with simulators and screens. It's called being old, I think, and having bad eyes, bad vision. Did any of that stuff mess with you? Or are you okay with all these screens and all the 4D kind of stuff?
Honestly, it's gotten harder as I've gotten older. Like, none of that used to bother me at all. No motion sickness issues at all. And, the last few years, I feel like, you know, they go to do some of the screens and I, you know, we get off and my head's spinning. I'm like, oh, I gotta sit down. Like, this is a lot.
Oh my gosh, this day you have lunch Taco Bell. There you go. Yes, ring the bell.
More tacos. Yes, love Taco Bell.
So for this evening, though, it looks like you took some time just to chill out at the hotel, though. I mean, you've been going pretty hard here. A couple days at Universal. You had a couple days at the Disney park. So right mid-trip. Was this planned or was it just out of necessity? You were tired.
Just out of necessity. I'm trying to get out of the mentality that just because I am at Disney on vacation, I do not have to go all the time. And so I'm like, you know what? It's fine. We can just hang out and watch TV and eat leftovers and play cards and just have a little downtime in the room, which was just nice little decompression. And then, yeah, the next day we did Animal Kingdom, which the night before, I guess, the night of the 21st, my sister and I had collaborated for this Christmas gift for my mom, because my mom is of the age where she's like super into family pictures all the time. Any event must have family pictures. And so since we don't do gifts, we do experiences, we thought, okay, well, what if we get her a capture your moment session for us as a family? So I made us all matching shirts, gave them the shirts the night before, didn't tell them what it was for. We show up together at the gates on like the next day at Animal Kingdom. And then we tell her that we're doing this photo session, which of course she starts crying because she's a mom and that makes her really excited.
You're like, but I'm glad you're excited and you're crying about this, but stop crying because we're getting regular pictures taken. You can't have red eyes.
Basically, I'm like, your eyes are going to be all puffy. You need to calm down. So we, our session wasn't until 10 a.m. And it was actually a little chilly that day. So I'm glad it was a little later because we had to take our jackets off so that we could see our shirts. But it was probably 40, 45. It was chilly. So we did Flights of Passage and we did the safari. It's the only safari that I've done where I've actually heard the lion roaring. So that was pretty cool. In 20 years, it's the first time that I've seen that. And then, you know, we go to do the capture your moment session and they're, you know, okay. So asking my mom, like, well, okay, well, where do you want to take the pictures? And she's just like, what do you mean? I have to make decisions. I'm like, mom, this is like your gift. Where do you want to take the pictures? Well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to make this decision for you. And she finally was like, okay, well, why don't we just do Tree of Life? Like very,
very
simple. Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if you're going to pick something that's pretty, pretty basic and pretty straightforward, Tree of Life. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So our photographer shows up, Jaime, and he was fantastic. So funny. He was making everybody laugh. He somehow managed to take 100 pictures in 20 minutes, which is amazing. And we're, you know, like running behind him around the Tree of Life and all of these like secluded locations that I had no idea were there. So there wasn't anybody else in our pictures and they were very nice and well focused. And he was just hilarious. Kept calling my mom grandma, knowing that she's not a grandma. And she's, you know, giving him side eye because she's a teacher. And that's like the way she gives direction.
Teachers are the best side eyers. I can tell you from experience.
They do.
My wife.
They do. Oh, man.
So, again, I still say this, and I've been saying this for the last few months. Capture your moment. I don't know how long it's going to stick around. I don't know how long it's going to stay at this price point. I think it's one of the best values right now because it's an experience, but it's also something you walk away with that you have that moment in time captured by somebody that knows what's going on. And during the experience itself, it's kind of like you feel like a little VIP, I would imagine. Like it's kind of cool to have an experience like that where like this is, you know, a cast member's focused on our group here and we have a little VIP experience. I mean, did you feel the same there?
I did. I mean, it was not only the photographer, but he also had a guide that was with him, I guess, to crowd control and all of that. So it felt, yeah, very VIP. We didn't see hardly any people, which was crazy because the park was super crowded. So just very professional and, you know, posed us too, which was nice, and just laughing. Everybody was laughing hysterically by the time we were done, which is really what you want out of a picture session. I think when we'd originally looked at it, they were only doing them at Magic Kingdom. So I don't know how recently they added Animal Kingdom, but I'm glad we were able to do it there.
Did you guys do anything special with the images when you got back, or is there I've been asking guests this on Mondays last few weeks, like, is there any like traditional thing you do with images, just like snapshots you take on your phone? Do you guys do anything like make photo books or any kind of, you know, ways to remember certain trips when you get home to kind of document that certain trip?
Yes. Mom is a photo book person, so she will be, or has already, I'm sure, made an album, to accompany our other albums, and has probably put the picture on the fridge also, if I were to guess. Nice.
You won. Good gift for mom there. I like that. All right. So after that, you guys went off property there. It looks like they have lunch, but you had dinner. One of my favorite places, Homecoming. So how'd that work out for you guys?
Yeah, that was the first time that we'd ever been to Homecoming. And we show up and I've been telling my parents and my sister, I'm like, well, this is where we get fried chicken. Like this is the time to get fried chicken. And they're looking at me like, well, I'd like to see the menu and kind of figure out. I'm like, okay, but I'm telling you that you're going to end up getting fried chicken. Like, I don't know why you're going through this whole like deliberation process. But I ended up getting a salad with grilled chicken and it had fried pimento cheese on it, which was delicious. And then a blackberry dressing. And then the others, as predicted, got a myriad of different fried chicken, either in platters or with donuts or whatever. And I did end up getting the watermelon hooch, which was delicious. I did not know that they made their own or infused their own moonshine, but dangerously delicious. Would recommend.
This is the only place I've ever had moonshine in my life, just because it's like the thing to get at Homecoming. And I was with a group of people that are like enablers, I guess you could say. Well, you know who they are. It's Scott and it's Pam Forrester and Pam Forrester's daughter, Hannah, and the whole crew. So I don't drink very often. Like I have a margarita with Mexican food, and that's about it ever. I don't drink beer or anything. And they're like, oh yeah, you got to get, I mean, everybody else was getting those squeeze bottles with moonshine. I'm like, I am not getting a squeeze bottle. That thing's huge. You kidding? So I got like one little, you know, I think we got like a sampler, like a little shot thing, you know, with, you know, four samples of moonshine. That's, I'm telling you what, if you don't drink moonshine ever, that stuff is hot, dude. It was like, I mean, it was like drinking jet fuel. Like it burned me from the time it hit my lips, like to my belly button. I haven't had it since. It was, I know I'm a lightweight, but man, moonshine is like serious. That stuff was hot. I don't know if like watermelon hooch. I mean, maybe watermelon hooch is a little better. Maybe they like set me up with like the hottest stuff in the restaurant. I don't know, but it was a little painful. I got to be honest.
Probably a little bit of that, and moonshine is pretty popular in North Carolina, so we've got quite a few places around here that make it, so we've done tastings and whatnot like that, but it was real good.
Yeah, I was raised in a Baptist household, so you can tell it was probably just the sin going down my throat. I felt terrible. Like I shouldn't be doing this. No, I'm just kidding, but yeah, that's probably what it was. Okay, so your last day in the park, you guys are over at Epcot. You got to do Remy, which now is a standby attraction. Who would have thought it was virtual queue forever? So what'd you think of Remy?
Well, I was freaking out about virtual queue because I remember how hard it was to get rides the first year. Like it was a very intense moment. And so like I'm up at 7 o'clock and somehow my dad had gotten added to mine and Nick's group, but then my sister was trying to add him also. And so they ended up canceling their reservation and we only had one for the two of us, the virtual queue mm-hmm. pass thing. But we ended up being able to talk to a cast member when we got there and add my parents and my sister to our time so we could all ride together. I thought it was very cute. I didn't expect it to smell as good as it smelled. Like it was, oof, that was good. That was a nice little surprise. Which I guess, you know, being in the Ratatouille kitchen, I should expect good smells, but that was pleasant. And then got off that and, you know, you're in France, you're going to get pastries. So I went and got Croque Monsieur and a Napoleon, which, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. So, of course, I needed to eat a sandwich and dessert.
Well, in France, you know, I have to have an eclair every time I'm there. So it's my thing. Can't miss it. I just look at it as it's a little chocolate Long John is the way I look at it. It's breakfast every time I get an eclair. That's how I justify it. It's just a mini little chocolate Long John. It tastes so much better. Okay, so you had leftovers for lunch that day, and then you wrapped up. It looks like kind of your last big hurrah here, which God, I've never been to this place. I had a chance. Pam Forrester was going to take me, and she was buying dinner too. I didn't even have to pay for this meal. Like we were down there on a work trip. She was like, come on over. Like I'm buying. And I had a stomach ache that night. I'd eaten something for lunch, disagreed with me, so I couldn't go. Yachtsman Steakhouse. And Ricky talks about this place all the time, how she loves this place. So how was Yachtsman for you guys?
It was actually our first time at Yachtsman. And we have become steak people. So now anytime we take a vacation, we try what is considered the best steak place that is available. So clearly at Disney, Yachtsman. So we went and it was like the theming was very nice. It wasn't very crowded. They seated us immediately, which I was not expecting. I was expecting a little bit of a wait there. But I got the 8-ounce filet with fries, which was very good. It was one of the few steaks that does not need to be dipped in something, and I'm a dip it in something person. I was impressed.
I need a little A1, a little 57, and it's like everybody gets embarrassed. I know. I'm from Missouri. People like, you're an idiot, Mike. But hey, I've heard these steaks don't need anything, so there you go. I'll have to give it a shot.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I've learned. If it's a great steak, it won't need anything. So I had to learn that lesson, but Yachtsman was definitely up there. And I got a house wine and Nick got a pork chop with grits, which he loves grits. So he was also very impressed with their grits. And he got a glass of bourbon that he'd been looking to try, which they happened to have, which was all very good. And Nick's birthday was on the 21st. But he is not a person that likes to celebrate his birthday. He is one of those people that's like, please, nobody notice, please, nobody notice. Yeah. So of course, you know, the first year we were together, I got him a birthday button and made him wear it everywhere. And then he was not a huge fan of that. So we didn't do that this year, but we did tell the servers at Yachtsman that it was his birthday, and they brought us out a little, a mini cake, I guess, which had like strawberries and whatnot on it. So that was good. It was a nice little touch. And then I wouldn't say walked, maybe waddled back to the car and then headed back to pack up and get ready to head out.
That's a great way to wrap it up, though, with the birthday celebration, great meal at a signature restaurant at Walt Disney World. I mean, it just sounds like you had a really good trip. You had a mix of, you know, Universal, Walt Disney World, time with family, got to do the capture your moment with the extended family. So as we wrap up today's show, tips for folks, maybe just give one tip, something you learned during this trip that could help somebody else that's maybe going down during the holidays, or even just a tip for traveling with just more than like your core group, like just you and your significant other, just you and the kids. You know, what have you learned over these years? Because you have so much experience that could help somebody else plan a trip similar to this.
Yeah, I think the big thing when you travel over the holidays is you need to focus on the experience and not the number of rides that you're going to get in. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be crazy. So finding things that you can do as a family that aren't necessarily attractions. So, you know, we always take family pictures in front of the tree at Yachtsman. We go and look at the carousel. Some years we make it over to Grand Floridian and do a hotel hop. So taking advantage of those like more specific to the holidays types of experiential opportunities can kind of ease up on the attraction pressure. So you're not just standing in lines all the time, and you get a little bit to enjoy some of that extended family that you don't get to see as much.
It's a great tip, because I mean, you don't want to spend the entire time standing in line for stuff. You want to be just relaxing. I mean, it is called vacation, and I know as Disney fans we get hung up on, like, you know, quantity, you know, like how much did we get done, like if we don't check off 17 boxes today, was it successful? And really at the end of the day, success is just it's enjoying the people you're with, you know, and just really that's it. You mentioned something that it kind of slipped by earlier. You mentioned that one night that you guys went back to the hotel and you just played cards, just kind of hung out and swapped stories. Honestly, those have been some of my favorite times at Walt Disney World. Like one time we got a big two-bedroom villa before a cruise with Scott's family. We split the thing. And we just sat around in the villa. We had a deck out there by the golf course. We baked cookies in the oven, and we played cards and board games. I mean, we were at Walt Disney World. We all had annual passes. We could have been at the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or the studios. Didn't matter. We could have been doing all this great stuff. But you know what? This is probably 7 years ago now. And I look back, and those were some of my favorite all-time days at Walt Disney World. It was just hanging out with friends. I mean, it was like we were in a house, but we don't all live in the same place. We don't get that time together ever. And we had that time, which I know it's kind of strange because you're paying all this money and you want to get all this stuff. That's such a great tip, though. Just enjoy those you're with, because you don't have to check the boxes, even though we're tempted. We're so tempted to check the boxes so hard. I know. I'm talking to myself, and next time I go down there, I'm like, but I didn't do this. And yeah, I know. Terrible. Well, Taylor, thanks for coming on the show. Great way to start the week. And hope you have an awesome 2022. So again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. We'd love to help you plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney trip. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being one of the best out there for the number of trips they book for their guests each year and the amazing feedback those guests give to Disney about the service they provide. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click really does mean a lot to us. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to our patrons. You allow us to put this show out each and every week, three times a week, all around the world. Couldn't do it without you. And our patrons get a bonus show each week called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support the show, we'd really appreciate that. Just drop by patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give me a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike. We're also at brguestpod as well for the show. You can subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. You get a notification every time we go live to record a podcast. You can be right in here in the chat joining us for that. And please, if you don't mind, give us a rating and review wherever you grab the show. And on social media, let me know where you download the show. Do you get on Apple Podcasts? I use Pocket Casts. Where do you listen? I'd love to find that out this week as well. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you enjoy probably your day off here in the States, but let's do something nice for somebody around you unexpectedly this week. How about we all try to do that? That'd be a pretty cool thing to do. So for Taylor, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.